Continue with this teaching that we must surrender to the Holy Spirit. We must surrender because He is God, He is sovereign, He is the comforter, He is the teacher, He has come to do everything and more. What is impossible with man is possible with God, but it can only be possible when you are sealed, filled with the Holy Spirit. And as the Holy Spirit works in your life and my life, and what He requires, what He challenges us with, we don't resist Him. We don't resist Him with that unbelief and hardness of heart, but we simply look to the fact that He is God, the Creator and Maker of all things, and all He requires of you is to believe and just surrender as He begins to work, to take over, so that in that weakness you will be made strong. Our problem is that where God is bringing us to the end of ourself, we still yet are complaining. We still are resisting. And as God spoke to us this morning, it is stopping us from really, truly understanding what worship and praise is and what it means to Him and what it will do for you and me and for this body. The reason that some of us still really can't praise and worship yet, because you still are believing, you are still too consumed in those areas that God is trying to get you to yield over to die to. And that is it. So stop resisting. And even where there is a fight, even though it looks so negative, God is sovereign. He is well able, through the sovereign work of the Holy Spirit, to put you to death in those areas. He will do it. And if you really believe that, then you will start to worship and praise Him. Because that's the key to all of this. We have come to see that there is no way we can put ourselves to death. We've come to see that there's no way we can come to the end of ourselves in ourselves. It is God working that in order to bring you to that place. You are coming to areas in your life where you are meeting the Red Sea, where it's in the natural, there's no escape. There's no way you can get across. And the enemy is right on your tail. But God is showing you that He has placed something within that right hand, the same as He did with Moses. It is your faith. It is the anointing of the Spirit. And God is going to bring you and myself to the end that He takes over. That is what all this teaching is about. But as I was opening up this teaching a few weeks ago, in order for God to do that in your life and my life, He has to preserve us. If God doesn't preserve you and me, we will never be kept in this world. The spirit of this age, the God of this world, is too strong. In the flesh, that is. That's what I'm talking about. And we have a wonderful promise that I want to remind you again in 1 John 2. Verses 18 to 23, 1 John 2, verses 18 to 23, says this: little children, it is the last time, and as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, by which we know that it is the last time. And many of those Antichrists are also political leaders in the world. We have it speaking even in this world, and through governments. What's speaking through governments? What are we seeing more and more through governments? That Antichrist spirit that rebels against the freedom and liberty that Christ gave us at the cross. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. And as we know, not all that call them Christians are Christians. Many call themselves Jews, but are Antichrist. And we are going to see an exposure more and more of this as we see people betraying, being betrayed, lying, scheming, every evil thing coming out in these last days, disguising itself as God and as Christian. But you have an unction, here it is, from the Holy One, and you know all things. There you are, you have an anointing, an unction. And he says, I come to teach you, and you will know all things. That means that whatever you encounter, whatever you hear, whatever your experience, whatever lies are said, whatever the government's saying, or whatever they're saying at work, or whatever your family is saying, or whatever it is, you have an unction, you have an anointing, and God says, I will show you the truth, if you want the truth. Because I know some who don't really want the truth when it comes down to it. Why? Because there's a cost to pay in receiving truth. And truth sometimes can, for a season, be painful. Ecclesiastes tells us that. But who wants to live in darkness? Who wants to live a lie? If you truly love Jesus and you are receiving his light, then you are children of the light and not of the darkness. And that is why God exposes and will expose. And he'll do that all the while the Holy Spirit is sovereign over your life and over this church, and you allow him to anoint that unction, he will deal whatever is darkness, so that you know. For those who know the truth will be set free by the truth. That is why we have a court of law, because they endeavour to try and establish the truth. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. That's why we're taught the word of God, we labour in the word of God, so that when anything comes along contrary to what you have been taught, what you see, you can refute it, you can stand against it. Why do I say that? Why am I emphasizing it? Because of the Antichrist spirit that is spoken of here coming forth for the last days. You must know the truth to stand against the Antichrist spirit. What is the Antichrist spirit? It's another teaching. It's another gospel. It's black. It's dark. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. Whosoever denies the Son, the same has not the Father. He that confesses the Son has the Father also. Now, how do we test this? Is it enough just to say, do you believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, I believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe that he's the Son of God? Yes, I believe he's the Son of God. Do you believe that he was Emmanuel, God, God in flesh? Well, yes, some say no, he was just the Son of God or the eternal God. You've even got some that say, yes, I believe he was God in flesh and so forth. Right, and the next test is, are you seeing the fruit of that person who believes and confesses that? And you will find out the way they live, you will find out what they believe, when they receive teaching, whether they resist it or they're open to it. I'll give one example, baptism into Jesus Christ. There are many who say they believe on Jesus. They believe that he was the Son of God, he was God in flesh, yet they have a problem being baptized in water into his name. Now I raise a question, why is it so many who profess themselves Christians have a problem with that when it is so clear in Scripture? And I'm not saying that I know every heart, because God knows the heart of man. But if they have a problem with that, you can guarantee they'll start to have a problem with other things as well. It escalates. I then have to raise the question, what spirit is really working in them? For if they are saying they love Christ, they're saying that they confess that Christ is the Son of God. They confess that, yes, he was God in flesh and so forth. Yet they deny some of the doctrines. They resist it and so forth. I have to question what spirit is actually operating, because it is another spirit. What I'm actually trying to say to you is that you have to apply these tests, and these tests have to really be applied. And it's not as simple as just saying, oh, well, that sister says she believes in Jesus, she believes he's the Son of God, so she must be a Christian. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. We're coming to an age and an hour where you're going to have to test it far more than just that. Now, I'm not talking about those who don't have light, or they don't fully see it. Why, we're still learning. We're still receiving light. But the attitude and heart is, well, I don't fully see it yet, but I'm open, and I've got it shelled, and I know Jesus loves me, and I'm open to learn and receive everything that he has for me. I will come into that place and understanding. I'm not talking about those who are like that, because a lot of us have been or are. I'm talking about those who, where you raise up being baptized into Jesus Christ, no, you're wrong. And you show them scriptures, you show them what the disciples were doing, you take them through who Christ really was, that you're really being baptized, identified into him. He was the one who died and rose again. He's the one you follow. I know all that, but you're wrong. I believe that people who are adamant like that, and may not necessarily speak out, but are speaking in their heart like that, I have to question. I have to start testing that spirit in the light of what I'm told to do. You see? Why am I strong on this? Because we're talking about truth. We're talking about the truth that sets you and I free. The truth that will keep us free from the Antichrist spirit. That seducing spirit. Why am I saying this? I take this a step further, because we're told that Satan will come as an angel of light in the last days, presenting himself, giving himself that he is actually the Christ, the Messiah. Now, that is, of course, a blasphemous thing. But Satan is not stupid. He ain't going to take on that role, that deception, unless he believes he can take many with him to hell. He's no fool. So I'm suggesting to you that if it were not for the sake of the elect, the chosen, the sealed by the Holy Spirit, most will be taken in by this deception. That's the emphasis I'm making. So what is our test going to be for these last days? How are we going to hold to truth? How are we going to divide the works of darkness? Well, I come back to this unction, this anointing that you have received. I can only see, as Scripture teaches me, that if you haven't got that, you are not going to be able to discern it. You are only going to be able to discern by us graciously given the Holy Spirit, sealed, empowered, being taught by him to discern it, to test it. We're not going to stand otherwise. We're going to be drawn in. And of course, where the mercy of God comes in is with the mark of the beast. So there's God's mercy. Actually, that mark is going to actually save quite a few. Because you don't need an awful lot of revelation to see what Scripture tells you about that. So there is actually the mercy of God, even though many will be martyred because of not taking it. So that is why I'm emphasizing this, and I've taken time in this, because we've got to surrender to the Holy Spirit's leading. And several groups, I might add, will indeed be preserved by this anointing. To those who yield, the woman that is left who flees into the wilderness, where she probably was resisting or had problems with baptism into Jesus, will suddenly realize, yes, that is valid, it is very important. The woman that flees into the wilderness is going to start to really search out the scriptures and start to see where she has gone wrong, where she has missed it, you see? Because the wise virgins are the ones who've stayed with the word. They've not tried to twist it, complicate it. They have had a faith in the unction, the Holy Spirit's teaching and anointing. That wise virgins have not questioned the Holy Spirit's teaching. They've simply received the teaching like a child who receives from parents. You see? You're still finding their brothers and sisters, but those may be still caught up in the system, or the foolish virgins, they're still having problems at times with the Holy Spirit's teaching. There's still at times that resistance. And we even have to watch it. We've got to be on our guard as God challenges us. So none of us are exempt in that sense. Well, I want to continue to take this up, and probably this is the last teaching in this today. But I want us to look at various areas where we're going to know whether the Holy Spirit is in control, or whether you're going to see that you've got to yield over and allow him to start to take over, because he'll do it. He'll do it, and certainly if you ask him, he'll do it. But when God does address certain areas, issues, we've got to acknowledge this, because this is the key to deliverance. The key for changing your life is a turning around, facing him face to face, as he wanted to do with Israel. He said, come now, let us agree. Let us come, even though your sins are scarlet, I'll make them as white as snow. But he was saying to Israel in covenant, come, let us face one another. That's what it actually means. Let's turn and look at one another in the eyes. And don't pretend anymore. That's acknowledging God. When we have need of change in our lives, or you're aware that maybe you don't know him as you should, or there's not that relationship that he's trying to show you that he wants, that you can have with him. All sorts of things. I don't know all the answers, but the Holy Spirit is going to hone in to you as he speaks through me. But it is that acknowledging him. It's the same in keeping relationships. It's the same with marriages that are kept. It's when you can look at one another face to face in your eyes and say, come on, let's deal with this. No more lies. No more pretending. No more fantasy. We have to sort this out. It's what it means. That is acknowledging. And that's what God is doing with us. You may say, God can do that to me. I can actually do experiences with God. Of course you can. He's been waiting to do this. Well, surely if I look at him, I look into his eyes, I'll burn up. Well, praise God. You won't burn up. What will burn up is the unbelief in you. The rebellion. That's all it'll burn up. And that's what you want to get rid of anyway. Do you see? You know, Satan can never look you in the eyes. Did you know that? He'll never be able to do that. Because he's a liar, a deceiver. Have you noticed today, you've got a generation now that is trying to cover the face up. Trying to cover the eye gate up. There are more sunglasses worn now than ever there were. It's mega today. Designer sunglasses, you hear all about, or buy these designer sunglasses. And people are now wearing them in the winter. So they're not a thing for because of the sun, it's strong. Or you've got people now, you've got youngsters, I say youngsters, you heard of hoodies, haven't you? Why are they wearing these hoods? Why are their heads bowed? Why are these hoods? You notice how they come right over? It's to cover the face, the eyes. Have you noticed a lot of youngsters now, they can't really look up, their heads are bowed down. I watch this. I see, I'm not imagining it. God opens my eyes to this as I go and walk and go in the street and everything and so forth. You know, I've talked to people. Have you tried holding a conversation with somebody when they're looking up like that or their face is turned away from you? Have you ever tried talking with somebody like that? Awfully hard. You feel like saying to them, you know, is there something wrong with me? Have I got, you know, is there something on my face? Or, you know, are you listening to what I'm saying? You say it to the children when they're looking away from you or they're concentrating on other things. Mother says to them, are you listening to what I'm saying? You know, full well they're not. It's darkness doing that. That's Satan who cannot look in the eyes of another person. And we're seeing this happening more and more. People disguising themselves, covering themselves. Because it's the powers of darkness taking over now. So, it's acknowledging God. It's looking face to face, eye contact with God Almighty. That's what he means by acknowledging. And then it comes with this confession. And you see, you will always know when you are acknowledging God, when you're before him, and you're meeting him face to face, because your confession starts to change. That's always a good giveaway. It's not just the word. It's important, yes, the word. But it's also in that acknowledging, confessing, that confession begins to say. Because what we say always gives it away. And it will tell us where we are. That spiritual thermometer. It will tell you what temperature you have today. Whether it's normal, high or low. And not only that, but it tells you what flows from your heart. And Jesus brought this up, didn't he, in John 7, verse 38. John 7 and verse 38, Jesus touched on this. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart or innermost beings shall flow the rivers of living water. It's those that believe. Now, to acknowledge God, to confess, to allow the Holy Spirit to take over, that quickens your faith. It is your faith. It is your acknowledging. Because this is what he says. It says, those that believe on me, as the scripture says, out of the heart flows rivers of living water. And what are the rivers of living water? Praise. Worship, a smile, eyes that are filled with the love of Christ, your confession, confessing the positive over the negative, all those things that you have been taught over the years. That's life. That's life. And so you know where you stand. And that's why the heart has to be worked on for faith and confession to flow. Now, what is flowing out? That is a good question. Is frustration flowing out? Yes, Lord, I am listening. I fall victim at times to that. Oh, and you know, as you get older, in the natural, it gets worse. You know, there's a series on television, Grumpy Old Men, and then the latest one they got, I believe, is called Grumpy Old Women. And they are. And the problem is, if you listen to that, it sounds so logical. You know, they come up with things, yes, I know exactly what they're saying. Yes, that's my experience, you know, and it's always somebody else's fault. Always somebody else's fault. Or something in the system that's not working. Yes, I know all about that. And you know, as you get older, you really have to battle it. It is a battle. Frustration, resentment, anger, all those things that we can hear coming out of us. Or confusion, just a general confusion. See, God will tell us where we are. We're wondering why things are not happening sometimes. Wondering, you know, it seems God's a million miles away. What's happening? I don't understand. You do understand, because you hear it, if you want to. The problem we don't hear it is, and I'll tell you what stops it, is pride. Pride will stop you from hearing what comes out of your mouth. And God is allowing that because he's trying to get your attention. He's trying to show you, that is why I am delivering you. That is, will begin to tell you why I'm dealing with you in the way that I am. So it's not so confusing. You know, we often say, oh, God's ways are past finding out. I don't understand what he's saying, what he's doing. Well, overall, probably there's truth to that. But, you know, if you really pipe down a bit, God, you do know what God is saying. There's an awful lot in your life. You do know what he's saying. It's just that you don't want to acknowledge it. You don't want to hear, because you want a way out. There is no way out. It's acknowledging it. And it's saying, yes, Lord, I can hear that coming out of me. I can hear that confusion. I know this blindness. I still know I should be seeing things that I am not seeing. I've had to say that to the Lord. Lord, there are some things I know I should be seeing, and you want me to see it, but I'm not seeing it yet. And I want to. And I've got to acknowledge this. I've got to yield over to this in order to see this. Uncertainty. Oh, there are times when we're just uncertain. I just don't know whether to buy this or not. I don't know whether it's the right thing. You know, if it's the wrong thing, it's going to be disastrous. And we're uncertain. And God's already telling us and showing us. But that fear, that unbelief, will start going and finding out and asking other people. And in the end, you're just even more confused. Do you know, going asking other people all the time is idolatrous? Did you know that? Isn't it sad that God, you can't get it from God himself? That's what he saved you for. He has saved you to show you which way to go. To tell you if it's right to go left or right. To tell you, yes, by that, my blessing will be in that. Or yes, go down that road. Go down that avenue, because that's where I'm walking. I'm going, you know, it's so sad when we can't hear God saying that into our lives. And you've got to ask, why? That's, of course, why we wait on God. We wait on God. And you see, all these confessions that come out, this confession still of sickness. I sometimes still hear it, a sickness, and you start to elevate it, and you know, and we have to be really on our guard when you're going through a trial. And I will confess, this last week I've been going through a trial with my back. You know, there's been back pain and aching, and you know, you just sit to try and get that relief and so forth. And you know, the devil just knows how to bring you in contact with somebody else who's got the same problem, and before you know where you are wallowing in it. And the confession that comes out, and you know, you walk away and you said, Lord, you allowed that for a reason. Little wonder this back problem and everything, because you had to bring somebody else along with the same problem, and there we were identifying, just like the world. Instead of keeping your mouth shut and not saying anything, or just say, by his stripes I am healed, this is the trial of my faith, you know. But praise God, I can see it, because I'm asking that he opens my eyes so that I can acknowledge the problem. See? And that can work with anything. That can work with trouble with mother-in-law, financial problems, problems with the son at home, or whatever it is. The devil has a way of getting you to meet somebody else with exactly the same problem, or they went through it a year ago. The next thing you know is all the negatives coming out. Who brought that person along? It wasn't the Lord. It was Satan. He was there, but God uses it. God uses it. So we've got to watch these confessions of sickness, trials that we're going through. Sometimes it's best not to say anything. Or other times it is to say, if you're going through a trial, assembly, we're here together, I would value your prayers. Stand with me if you will. What a privilege to be able to stand with one another and pray one for another, that we might be healed. And I'm not going to bring it up. I ain't going to push it. It's got to come out of you people, because that's where you'll get healed. You're never going to get healed all the while I bring it to your attention. You won't. There are so many things that can come out of our mouth. Who can tame the tongue? Who can tame the confession? Well, man can't. Man can't. We've got psychiatrists now, psychologists, trying to change people's confession, trying to get them think differently, to think well, to think whole. But it's not doing anything. Only the Holy Spirit can do that, to change that. And you see, all the while that we're confessing these things, that's why at times we can still be in pain. That's why we at times can still be on those drugs, or having to go to doctors and hospitals and various things like that. And you're saying, why is it I cannot get to this place of faith? I can't break through in these areas. God's trying to tell you, but have you listened to your confession? Have you listened to what comes out of your mouth? Little wonder you can't get relief from pain. Because every time you talk to somebody else who's going through pain, you're talking about your pain. And they're talking about their pain. And it becomes a painful experience. No, no. We've got to be very, very careful. And the Holy Spirit can do this. He has come with that unction, that anointing. Open your heart to the anointing of the Holy Spirit to change that confession. That confession lines up with God's word. He'll do it. Oh, it may hurt, you know, maybe a few exposures. You know, oh Lord, I've let you down again. But he's in control. He's in control. Do you know how you know? Because grace and mercy is operating. That's why. Another one I want to address, and I assume that we are mature enough in this body to be able to get this one right, but I still hear confessions of poverty come out of saints. Now, I'm not talking about faith and prosperity as so many churches are preaching it, that our Heavenly Father is that spiritual Father Christmas, that everything you want, he'll give it to you. That's not what we're talking about. So I'm not going to go into that, because I assume you are mature enough, you've had enough teaching on that to know exactly where we are coming from when we deal with this question. But I do hear confessions of poverty. Oh, I couldn't possibly afford that. There's no way. I couldn't afford that. Well, no, of course you can't. What? There's no revelation in what you've just said. But hang on a minute. Who is your Father, Heavenly Father? What does he own? Well, he doesn't only own, but he created and made the heavens and the earth. And he happens to be, if you didn't know it, your Father. You know? Maybe you've never thought of this, but he is your Father. And he has provided, he has saved you, he has opened your eyes. And he's opening your eyes to show you things as to who and what he is. So there is no excuse for poverty to be confessed out of our mouth. Now, some of us may be going through trials, some of us may be going through financial trials, but that does not change who God is, and that he is your Heavenly Father. And it may just be that you are going through that for a season because there are poverty spirits that he's trying to get you delivered from. Now, God isn't going to give you the abundant life in order for you to start to cause others to stumble. The abundant life is for everyone in this church, but it is an abundant life that is also tempered with wisdom, knowledge, understanding. There are some things that we have to use wisdom, sensitivity. Some are not quite in that place of faith yet. You are at liberty if you have the faith for it, to go for it. But you are not at liberty to flaunt that and to use that and to try and put down somebody else. Well, look at my faith. I believed for this. Why is it you can't? That is not what it's about. And that's where it's gone dreadfully wrong. That's pride. That is flaunting it. You don't flaunt your blessings. You don't flaunt your prosperity. The key to it is, as I've always said, if you are blessed in an area that you know some others at the moment haven't come yet to that place where you can use and be led by the Holy Spirit in which to be used to bless others as the Spirit leads. Your prosperity is to bless others as well. The household of God. But the reason some are not getting free, and I listen to it, because as Jesus said, out of your innermost being shall flow those waters. What waters am I hearing at that point? Are they waters that are living, clean, or is it stagnant? It's just not quite clean. And at times in that area, they are not clean waters that come out. It is unbelief. It's tempered with fear. Maybe your poverty is because you came out of an environment. Maybe your parents scrimped and scraped all their lives. And yes, they had the money, but there was always that fear that you've got to have that nest there just in case things go wrong. And so they scrimped and scraped. And, you know, you've just taken on that bondage. You find yourself doing exactly the same. You need to be set free because you've got to know who your Heavenly Father is. He is going to supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. I'm not saying that you're all going to next week become millionaires, but some of you may well naturally, in the natural, become millionaires. The point is, does that change you? Does that hinder your walk? They're the questions. So we have to be on our guard over this. I'm a great believer that you can go for the best. I'm a great believer that the best costs more. It may take longer, but you get what you pay for. Why do I bring that up? Because it costs the best. It cost everything for Jesus to give his life a ransom. And we receive the very, very ultimate best that our Heavenly Father provided and gave for us. There was no substitute in his sacrifice that he gave to us. It cost him his life. Up until then, God had never died. So I apply that principle. I apply that principle in my life, things or whatever it is. I say, yes, Lord, that is what I'm going for. I know that to be the best. Your blessing is there, but I may have to wait a bit longer for that. I may just have to come to that place. But I can tell you, you get what you pay for. And that is a principle. And that is where poverty will hold you back. Poverty will always get you to take a substitute. In other words, you may need to have to buy something for the house. I'm going to say be blessed. Go for the best. Oh, but we couldn't afford that. After all, my parents, they never had the best, you know. They scrimped and scraped and, you know, and they were always really happy because they get it from a jumble, so. Well, be according to your faith. But the point is, you saw a nice dining room suite and you saw it in Harrods or you saw it in some departmental store. You saw it and you thought, oh, isn't that great? Isn't that lovely? You know, beautiful. And then unbelief said, but I can't have that. No, that's not for me. That's not for me. After all, I'm a Christian. You walk in poverty and everything. And yet in your heart, you are quickened by that. In your heart, you long to think, my Heavenly Father could bless me with that, but it's impossible. It's impossible. Because my life isn't like that. My life has never been like that. Who is telling you that, friends? Who has been suggesting that to you all these years, and to your parents and their parents and so forth? Who is your father? If you walk in the spirit and you walk each day with Jesus, I'm going to tell you something. That was probably God who took you into Harrods. That was probably God who showed you that dining room suite, if you did but know it. But that confession, that unbelief took over. And no longer could you see that God wanted to bless you with that. The logic, the mind, the intellect, what parents drummed into you took over. And the flesh took over. And what have you received and taken? A substitute. We've got to get free from these things. We've got to get free. We start to rise above it. Yes, be according to your faith, but begin to move forward. That is the point. Ask God when you're seeking him for things, is this a substitute, Lord? Because if it is, I don't want it. I want the very best that you've got for me. You know where I am. You know the light that I have. You know what you're bringing me through. But I ain't going to receive a substitute. I've had to say that. I've had to hold firm. I've even had to say over this church and what goes on and what we receive and what God's doing with us, Lord, no substitutes. No substitutes today, this Sunday, for this meeting. The very best. As there's no point coming. Because that is what I believe my Heavenly Father is, what he gives and what he will bless his people with. Because if he can't do it, then nobody else can. We might as well just go home. And that is for wholeness in mind, body, spirit. Now, I believe that for your inner man, for the spirit. I believe that you receive the very best spiritual food that God gives. Not these leftovers heated up the following day. No way. God showed Israel a principle there. That he provided for that day and that they were to take of it at ease. And that was fresh. And the same with the manna. That's what he gives. So if he gives in that, then he's going to give also in the practical. And he's going to give to you and he's going to keep you sound. He's going to keep you well. He's going to keep you whole. He's going to preserve and keep you because that is the Holy Spirit's ministry. Amen? It is. I know I'd be ousted out by most churches at this point. Do you always want just enough money to just scrape through by the end of the week? Do you want to walk the rest of your life until Jesus comes that way? It's up to... Oh, maybe you do. I don't. I tell you why I don't, because I want to be able to come to that place where the Lord can use me to help where there's needs. That's the desire of my heart, because needs are all around you. Jesus said, you'll always have the poor with me, but you won't always have me. We've got a governments that believe now that we can create a utopia where there'll never be any more poor people. I'm sorry, but Jesus said there will be. There will be. No, he will bring you to that place. God says he'll bring you to that place that you won't have that torment, that fear coming up when these bills come in. You think, where are we going? Here we go again. You know, same road again. We've got to believe God. And yes, God, you're not saying that, but that's what's rumbling away inside. When are we going to get free from this? That's why you're getting free. And that's why it comes up again, because he's getting you free. He's delivering you. But listen to your confession. Listen to the attitudes. Listen to the motives. It's all there. You don't need a PhD to understand that. But God said something and been saying something this morning that's going to help you people. Start to praise him. Start to worship him. When that bill comes through in the week, and in the natural, it can't be paid, you've got two choices. Either you can look at it and think, oh, praise God. Let's get in warfare. And warfare might be needed. But the last bill that came through, you got in warfare as well. Or maybe he just said, come on, family. We've got some good news. We've got tax in. 500 quid. We've only got about £50 in the bank. Come on, we've got some good news. Let's worship God. Let's have a revival in this kitchen. And all hands go up, start praising and worshiping Jesus. My God will supply worship. And I mean, I'm not talking about just doing it as I've told you. I'm talking about real worship, real praise, acknowledging him. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He will supply all our needs according to his riches in glory. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Some of us have got straight faces because we know we're not meeting the conditions. See, it doesn't take a blinding revelation, does it? You see, the Holy Spirit will always confirm what he's really trying to say to you, won't he? He always does it. Why is that your experience? Why is he confirming to you right now in your seat where you're sitting? Because that's his teaching. That's a sign you have the unction. You have the anointing. He has blessed you. You are sealed. So what's your problem? The only problem is you're listening too much to the enemy. Hallelujah. We have this mindset, God doesn't bless me this way. Oh, he blesses that sister that way, but he doesn't bless me that way. Well, the problem might be is because you heard your mother saying that and your father. And their parents said it as well. And that's your confession, that's what comes out. No, I've looked at many saints. I've read stories and testimonies of saints, men that were used and everything. And everything within me says, Lord, if you can do that to them, I receive a double anointing. Because it's double anointing season we're in. So if God anointed them and they were experiencing God that way, that is for me also, but a double blessing as well. I've always believed that. Now you can call me greedy, you can call me whatever you like, but I believe I got that from God. Because if God can do it for them, he can do it for me. And if he can do it for me, then the blessing is to encourage others that he can do it for them also. That's why preaching the gospel is such a blessing. Because it enables me to be able to share with you, he can do it with you as well. We share it all. We share the blessings. We share the bigness, the greatness, the generosity, the love of God. That's what's been fruitful. So that confession we've got to really watch. Confession over our loved ones, our family, over that son that's driving you around the bend. You know, watch those confessions. Confessions at work, with a job or a new job you've just taken on. The Holy Spirit has come to deal with this. And that is why just yield over to it. Is your confession a mess? Is your confession hindered in so many areas? Praise God. Just say, Lord, I yield in Jesus' name. And the Holy Spirit is going to do it. Don't know how, but he's going to do it. Because it's going to line up with your word and what you have said. You know, sometimes we don't resist when the enemy comes and we feel that oppression. We just feel we don't want to resist. We just want to side in with the world. You know, it's easier. Give me a break. But God won't let us do that. He won't let us do that. We've got to see why this is important, not to us, but to God. And if you can see why it's important to him and why he's stressing this so much, we begin to understand this and the importance of this. You know, sometimes we don't confess always like we should because we think others are going to think us very strange, very odd. Well, they do anyway. If you have the Holy Spirit, you're a believer and you come to this church, you are odd, you are strange to the world. And if they don't know it yet, they will. So don't try and apologize for it. Don't try and side with the world. You know, rejoice. You're God's peculiar treasure. And so this is it. Well, let's finish off with Romans 15, 7 and 9. Romans 15, 7 to 9. Wherefore, receive one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to you among the nations and sing unto your name. And again he says, rejoice, you nations, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye nations, and laud him, all ye people. Wonderful. Wonderful. There we are. So he says there, receive one another as Christ has also received us to the glory of God, and minister even to the circumcision and uncircumcision, the truth of God. In other words, ministering his truth, his word, to confirm the promises made to the fathers. I have simply confessed to you this morning what has been confirmed, reconfirmed by our fathers, those that have gone before, those that have laid their lives down for the gospel, martyred. They maintain that positive confession of faith. And that the Gentiles might glorify God. We wouldn't be here today. We're Gentiles. If it wasn't for that. For his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the nations and sing unto your name. That's what we do. And that's why it's so important. Confession, singing, praising, worshipping God. Why? Because that is how Satan leaves. He leaves the presence of a church. He leaves the presence. His presence leaves from your house oppressing, or you, or at work, or wherever you be, as you start to confess, as you start to praise, start to worship him. The powers of darkness have to leave. Amen. Father, we thank you this morning. Yes, we've been challenged, and rightly so. Yes, we've been standing wanting in this church, but Lord, it's your mercy. Because change is taking place. Deliverance is taking place. Lord, we've seen areas where it's no revelation. We know what the problems are. There's no point sulking, getting upset, cross. All you've asked us to do however we feel, whatever the circumstances, is just to yield over to the Holy Spirit. You have provided that provision is in the unction, the anointing. So not only just bless us with the Holy Spirit, you've empowered us for that very purpose and reason, to bring about deliverance, change. But Lord, you've also shown that praise and worship go hand in hand, because that gets the enemy off our back. It gets the enemy out of situations, circumstances, because he doesn't like praise. He doesn't like worship, because he desires that. And when it is given wholly over to you, he has only one option to do, and that is to flee, to go. So thank you, Father, that you love us enough to meet us at the level of where we are. And we now, if we love you, as we confess and say we do, then we have that responsibility, and that is, Father, not to resist, not to get upset, but to know that we are mature enough to receive today what you have given to us. And therefore, we're going to rejoice in that. And whatever the circumstances, whatever I'm going through, whatever I feel, whatever I see, you have brought me to that place today to hear and to listen and to receive from you. That is a positive confession. And that will put to flight all the oppressions, all the negative, all those things that Satan is subtly trying to worm away, to get in, to get access back in. Lord, that is our deliverance. And so we thank you, we praise you, Father, this morning. And Lord, I thank you for your blessing over these teachings and what will come from it, and the fruit that will be seen more in our lives. Lord, let us not take substitutes. They finish now. It's the end of substitutes from this meeting today. We leave them at the foot of the cross. We receive the very best that you have for us, that you will give to us in Christ Jesus. We do indeed, Lord, have an abundant, fruitful life in Christ Jesus, because we are destined for the throne. So I pray, Lord, you will preserve, bless, and keep us, that your face will ever shine upon us, that you will keep us from the evil one, from temptations, that the cross will ever be there daily, taken up, walking in the light that you've given to us, preserved and kept by the unction of the Spirit. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus' name.
I open up my heart as much as can be known. I open up my will to conform to yours alone. Do something new, Lord, in my something new, Lord, do something new.